Center. Opening the show is local rockabilly group Kinda Fonda Wanda. Tickets for Southern Culture on the Skids can be found at the First Avenue website. Visit firstavenue.com for more details.
Welcome to the 21st century. Ugh. We were promised a utopian world with jetpacks, flying cars, and time machines. What we got is...
Please listen closely as our menu options have changed.
And...
unexpected item in banking area.
Thankfully, KFAI has changed. And hasn't. KFAI still brings you the coolest mix of music from around the world that you won't hear anywhere else. And you can listen, live stream, or download the programs you want on anything from your radio to your smartphone. Whether you're on the go or just lying on the couch.
Insufficient movement detected. Have you taken a bad fall? Notifying emergency services.
KFAI, non-commercial, community-powered 21st century radio.
KFAI is celebrating our 46th anniversary with a party for the community at the Hook and Ladder Theater on Friday, May 3rd. KFAI has curated an exciting evening of music from emerging Twin Cities groups L.A. Buckner and Big Homie, Shrimp Olympics, and America y los Sentimientos. Come join our live audience as the entire concert is being audio and video recorded. Invite your friends. Everyone is welcome. Information and registration at KFAI's 46th anniversary community celebration is available at thehookmpls.com.
Hello, Counterstories listeners. We have been doing this show in various formats for 10 years this year. In all those years, it has always been the four of us, myself, Halee Lee, Luis Maria Frias, Anthony Galloway, and Don Eubanks. However, we are sad to report that Don has passed away. He was our friend, he was a mentor, and a teacher, and he was our family member. In the weeks to come, as we take time to grieve, mend, and reflect on Don's life and his immense impact throughout the state, we will be re-airing some of Don's favorite episodes and topics. Welcome to Counter Stories, a show by people of color, for people of color, and everyone else. I'm Halee Lee, owner of the Other Media Group, VP of Programming at Ampers, and Counter Stories producer.
I'm Anthony Galloway, senior partner at the Dendros Group and pastor of St. Mark AME Church in Duluth, Minnesota.
And I'm Don Eubanks, associate of Dendros Group and member of the Mille Lacs Band of Ojibwe Indians.
Unfortunately, Luz Maria Frias cannot join us today, but we do have a special guest, and I'll have him introduce himself.
Andy Rodriguez, Parks and Recreation Director for the City of St. Paul. Happy to be here.
Happy to have you. So we invited Andy here today because he is a St. Paul boy who is now director of the Parks and Rec Department, which is exciting, right?
Central in the building.
Class of 2003, yes. Central High School. Yep.
And there is, there was a conversation I was having online with some community folks about transforming some tennis courts into pickleball courts and how it felt like it was gentrification. It felt like it was happening to places, you know, in the city that folks of color felt we didn't need the pickleball courts, or it felt very inappropriate to try to take over the tennis courts where, you know, I don't know if this particular place has urban tennis, but I did urban tennis mm-hmm. as a youth.
Yeah.
My sisters all did urban tennis. They play tennis for their high school, competed in high school.
My son is actually getting home from urban tennis camp right now while we're recording, drenched in sweat from the heat outside. So, I mean, just to uplift the connections to the parks, you're hearing that in the background right now.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it was a conversation we were having online. So I thought, you know, we would invite Andy and kind of get a grasp of really what your job entails and how you feel as a hometown boy being in that position.
I love this work. It's been the backbone of my life since I was a young kid. I was a rec center kid that grew up going to rec centers all across the city, but really spending time at like the Oxford Jimmy Lees, the Linwoods, the Highlands, just on this side of town. But that's always been a backbone and resource for me from the staff that have worked there, the programs offered, all those things kind of shaped who I am today. So to sit in this chair, it was never really a thought in my mind that this was even possible. So I always tell people, like, I remember the day that the mayor called me and offered me this job. Like, I had to pull over and just like take a minute and kind of breathe a little bit. And like, wow, this is really happening. You know, your open really kind of encompasses kind of what my role is. It's a balancing of priorities. It's listening to community. It's trying to meet the needs of everybody in the most effective way possible. And sometimes that results in challenging conversations about transitioning amenities or where the next rec center will go, or what culturally relevant sports do we have across the city that we're lacking, or we need to improve on, things of that nature. And it is very dynamic work. You know, the community is not static. We all know that. Needs and whatnot evolve over time. Demographics shift. All those things come into play, and it's really a constant balancing act for us to try and manage. But we use a lot of tools to guide that work. Like, we do a lot of system planning and kind of looking at where we're heavy in certain areas, or where there might be park deserts or service gaps, things of that nature, and what communities we aren't engaging effectively and how we can better build those relationships. So all those things come into play for my role, for my team. And whether you're working in a rec center or designing a new park or picking up trash, like, there's an element to all of that in the work that we do. Like, we are a population of 300,000 plus, we are a large park system. We have 26 rec centers, 182 parks. We have a zoo that is free. Not a lot of cities have a zoo. Multiple golf courses, aquatic centers, all these things. But we're lucky to have what we have in St. Paul in comparison to other cities. And St. Paul and Minneapolis are the model for a lot of other cities across the country of what we do in the parks world. So
there's just continued push that seems to be coming out of the city, and in particular Parks and Recs. I remember being at the basketball games at Jimmy Lee, and the place was packed more than I've seen it in a long time. Was that a direct result of eliminating those fees? So that is that a major driver for the participation going up, or is it just that folks have been so cooped up that they're trying to?
Well, it was a little bit of both. Like, coming out of the pandemic, we saw the registration was coming back, but it wasn't coming back at the level, pre-pandemic levels that we were accustomed to. And even pre-pandemic, we started with a trend of trying to eliminate fees for certain classes and kind of see how that affected participation. But with American Rescue Plan money, we were fortunate enough to, on behalf of the rec centers and the entire park system, get a $1.5 million investment under the lens of public safety. So that allowed us to make youth athletics free for the next 3 years for anyone ages 10 and up. And that being a year in, the mayor said it yesterday, it is pretty apparent that that has been successful, and we are going to have to figure out a way to fund that beyond the three-year mark. So just in 1 year, we've seen participation for all sports skyrocket, basketball, soccer, volleyball, like you said. Like, we had the first ever season of boys volleyball in the city, which is just amazing. And then obviously baseball, softball in the summer months. So really seeing those participation numbers skyrocket. But now we're also looking at what sports aren't we offering that we can potentially bring back or introduce as new. Like, I've heard a lot about track and field, and tackle football has evolved, but we got that back at Oxford Jimmy Lee this year, starting in August. So like, trying to get those things up and running and seeing what new athletic opportunities we can provide as well, and kind of capitalize on that momentum. But that's been super successful, and couldn't be happier with the outcome and the recognition that program is getting right now. It's great.
You're listening to Counter Stories. I'm Hui Lee with co-hosts Anthony Galloway and Don Eubanks, and special guest Andy Rodriguez. This show is supported by AMPERS and the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. For a full conversation, please visit counterstories.com.
I was sitting here thinking, well, how can I contribute to this conversation? But it reminded me that I have my entire life been a consumer of the activities at Parks and Recs. I'm a Minneapolis boy, okay? I went to Minneapolis Central, that the other Central, right?
Yeah.
And but as you know, as we're talking about this, I learned how to ice skate, right? Learned how to ice skate in city parks. Took part in Silver Skates. And, you know, that was kind of a big thing in Minneapolis. I don't know if it was a big thing in Minneapolis or in St. Paul. But Silver Skates, you know, being able to race in various parks in Minneapolis. But I've been a consumer of Parks and Recs my entire life. And then when I moved to St. Paul, that activity continued. And as I was listening to Andy talk, you know, there a bunch of us from McAllister College created a group called The Outcast. And we played touch football, flag football in the Park and Rec League. We played softball. I remember many evenings at Oxford, Jimmy Lee softball fields, right? And trying to jack one over the fence across the street. I mean, you know, depending on which field you were on and facing the, I mean, so, you know, just this discussion just reminds me of how often we are consumers of those activities and those things made available for us. And after a while, you don't even think about it, right?
Yeah.
You just, you know, and there were certain areas that I would go to. So, you know, if I wanted to play tennis, I would head down to the Martin Luther King Center, and they had a great tennis court behind there. That's where I would see a lot of the brothers go to, and I knew I could go there to hook up and get a tennis game. And so, you know, the Parks and Recs, I think, have played an important role, not only in my life, but my son. You know, Anthony, you mentioned Dunning Field,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, my son played baseball there. And nice. And so, you know, it's Parks and Recs are, I think, so important and so important to us. And then, Andy, you mentioned golf. And I play a lot of golf. I mean, I play a lot of golf. And, you know, there's an annual tournament at Como Golf that's sponsored by different Black organizations in St. Paul. And so I know, you know, Parks and Recs have been through a lot of changes. And I know one of the changes I think that monetarily the city of St. Paul had to struggle with was the management of your golf courses.
Yep.
And there was a transition when that management switched from the city of St. Paul and you guys brought in outside management company to operate those. And I know it took a while for many of us loyal golfers to get used to that change,
because
it was a big change.
Boy, that conversation was in all the barbershops, boy.
Are you kidding me? Man, I mean, that was huge. You know, it was a big thing because it radically changed how we set up tee times, who we had to deal with. I mean,
oh, sure.
It was a huge thing, but you know, those things happen. And I think Helene, you know, I'm now in a part of St. Paul or outside of St. Paul in Roseville. And one of the tennis courts, it was converted to pickleball, right? There's a lot of folks playing pickleball. And so I know with the changing demographics and, you know, pickleball seems to have caught on. I personally have not attempted it. My knees won't allow me to do it. If my knees did, I'd be out there playing pickleball, right? Because it looks like it's something that as you age and get a little older, you can still handle, right? So I think, you know, the demographics of who's playing and all that is an interesting, interesting thing that's happening. But I think that, you know, what Hilly mentioned is that some folks are questioning exactly where some of those locations are changing at. And, you know, and I know with changing demographics, you know, there are times where I drive by certain areas and I never see the tennis court in use, right? And, you know, so it's it's looking at those demographics and trying to weigh out all that stuff. And, you know, for a while, I thought that there were just less youth around, but I think that's on the rebound. So, I tend to see more and more activities in those parks now, which is fantastic.
You raised some really good points. I mean, the point on the partnerships and the golf courses, well, first, golf was on the decline, but then when the pandemic hit, it went the opposite direction. It skyrocketed back up. And participation for golf courses.
Well, that was one of the only safe things we could do.
Right, exactly. And it's been steady ever since with revenues and other things, which are important in the golf world. Just to, but yeah, like the Highland National and Highland Nine Hole have been stellar. Those are the two city-operated golf courses. Like Phelan and Como are still run by service partners, like you mentioned. But yeah, golf is definitely on the upward swing, no pun intended. But also just looking at the broader partnerships, you know, people always kind of think of, you have the Parks and Recreation Department and these other youth serving agencies, and that we're kind of in competition with one another. We're not. Like, we are complementary to one another and we work in tandem. So when you talk about spaces like ArtSauce or the Sauna Foundation or the Boys and Girls Clubs, like all those agencies run out of park buildings. And are really effective partners for us in achieving the mission that we want to achieve within St. Paul, which is engaging families, young people, community, and providing services that align with our mission of, you know, accessible programs and services, and making sure that people have access to that form of recreation that they want to see. So they're essential to what we do. We have some great partners there. When you talk about, you know, facilities like tennis courts and other things, like, yeah, it's a balance. Like in your mention of driving past certain park spaces and seeing, oh, that doesn't look like it's used, or other things, like, we have a large system. We have a ton of ball fields. We have a ton of tennis courts. And I think what we're starting to do now is kind of looking at, where are those high use spaces? Where are the mid-tier? Where are the underutilized? And can some of them be repurposed? Like at Dayton's Bluff Rec Center, at the beginning of the summer, we transitioned that tennis court into a mobile skate park, which has been an awesome sight to see for that community. It's been packed every day. You can check out skateboards in the rec center and go out there and try to learn how to utilize your skateboard and do all sorts of kickflips and things on equipment that I would probably fall and break my legs on. But it's these kids adapt to it so well. But to see those things succeed is super cool. When it comes to pickleball, you know, an orchard is a great example. I think just for us, we got a little ahead of the game on, like, we're going to start with this location and not talk about the broader vision of what it is. Like, it's not just orchard, but we're going to look citywide of where we could find 7 to 10 dedicated pickleball courts and what that looks like. So I think that added to some confusion. And on behalf of my department, I think we can own some of that, like the initial messaging and things, and probably didn't flow out the best way, and it caused a little bit of strife within the community that we're still trying to navigate right now. We thought it was going to go away, and, you know, perception wise, you know, if you would ask me a couple years ago, I would have said this is a sport that is for 50 plus white people. I would have said that, like, outright, that's what it is. But it's changed quite a bit over the last couple years. We're starting to see younger demographics play the sport, and the desire to have dedicated courts throughout the city is there. Starting to offer it in our rec centers and teaching it to our young people, like it's here to stay, which is interesting. I haven't played it personally. Have many rec folks that play it and friends, but seems like quite the endeavor for people, and they love it. It's popping up a lot too in, like, the private industry, like tying it to restaurants and bars and other things. So it's all the rage right now. But yeah, we have a broader citywide plan that we'll be rolling out in the coming weeks, so people are more informed of the tentative locations that we're looking at for conversion. We won't get them all done right away, but we'll be looking to phase that in over the next couple of years.
You're listening to Counter Stories. I'm Hui Lee with co-hosts Anthony Galloway and Don Eubanks, and special guest Andy Rodriguez. This show is supported by AMPERS and the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. For a full conversation, please visit counterstories.com. I'd say, like, for us, the rec centers were crucial. Mm-hmm. You know, my parents were refugees. They didn't know what to do with us. during there were so many of us. It's like, what are we going to do with them during the summer? Neighborhood house, that was our place. We could walk there from our house. You know, my sister's first jobs were working the front desk at Neighborhood House. You know, we did urban tennis. Awesome. It was a lifesaver, I think, for families like us who, you know, were new to the country and, you know, school ended and then what, right? What do we do with all these kids all day bouncing off the wall in our tiny rental? So, you know, and now I live across the street from a rec center, and every day, I mean, it's the best thing. You know, when I was first looking at this house, a neighbor was standing there around, and I had asked the neighbor, this person, I said, what do you think of the neighborhood, you know? And they're like, oh, we really love it. It just, you know, sometimes it gets really loud over here by the rec center, but my husband and I love it. We love looking out the window and seeing the little kids in their neon shirts playing soccer.
That's great.
You know, every night, every day, there's 5 or 6 volleyball courts that people come and set up. You know, they have meals. We've got folks come and play cricket. Johnson High School would use the fields, and when they were done and the cricket players would come out, like it would, and they'd go until 9, 10 o'clock at night. And it's just amazing. This amazing thing of watching all these people from all these different cultures. You know, the Amish folks came and set up a table and had this big reunion in the middle of the field. You know, it was just like it's a great place to see all these different people come together. It's a great people watching. It's so much fun. I didn't technically learn to ice skate. There is a rink at the Phelan Rec Center where we live. We bought ice skates from Goodwill and we tried it, and yeah, not great. But we're gonna try it again this coming winter. We'll try awesome. Again. We bike, you know, we can bike to Phelan. We bike to the trails, the state trails we're obsessed with. I mean, there's just a lot that there has to offer, even in an informal sense, right? So even without the programs and stuff like that, I think a lot of people come and they do their own beanbag tournaments that they organize within their friends and families. Yeah.
Halle, you and Jim absolutely amaze me. You live right across from the park. You mentioned every amenity over there except for the major thing, which is Phelan Golf Course. Are you kidding me? I can't believe I'm waiting for you to mention the lake, the beach.
And then she even left out
the golf course. I'm going, wait a minute, you live right there.
The great thing with the lake is we're able to wheel our canoe down from our house to the lake.
That's awesome.
And the golf course, we don't golf. Golf. So during the winter time, people snowshoe and cross country ski.
See, low key, I'm hearing you talk and describe all these amenities and stuff like that. We used to sit around and joke about country club living way out in the suburbs for amenities like this, knowing full well that we have that in our backyard thanks to our park system in St. Paul. I mean, I can walk to the water park, the zoo, all of that. My daughter's interning at the zoo. There's
that's awesome.
I just listening and sitting back and hearing that described, like, you forget that all this free 99 stuff that's sitting behind. Well, not free 99, we're taxpayers, but still, that's our backyard.
Yeah, absolutely. No, you did an awesome, gave an awesome description of Phelan and kind of what that encompasses. I always say Phelan could be the sailing capital of the city. Like, that lake is so beautiful. But yeah, that access and that, we call it unstructured recreation, right? You can show up, walk on a trail, or do a beanbag tournament, whatever it is, like to your liking, right? That's what the park is for you, for community, to kind of that third space for you to gather with friends and family and just have a good time. You know, your earlier points about the rec centers, kind of stuck with me. It's just like we have young people that are there from the moment rec centers open until they close. Like, that is their second home, and those staff that work within those buildings act as mentors, act as in some forms parents, you know, different forms of support and services that we provide every day. They wear a lot of hats and do a lot of amazing work in keeping young people occupied and in a positive environment, and it's invaluable. what that means to community and neighborhoods, and just the relationships that they build every day.
This topic is bringing back memories because not all of us were gifted when we were younger to hoop, right? But, yeah. And then we didn't have, you know, back then we didn't have advocating parents coming to the park board to create situations that will allow us to play. This was during the 60s. It was dog eat dog, you know. So what we did is we shopped around, or I did. I shopped around parks, and then I found the parks. Oh, okay, I can deal with these dudes, right? And then once I was able to get in and scuffle with them dudes, then I gradually worked my way up, or then I can go back to my park and play, right? But so but that's how we handled it. I mean, you know, it's just bringing back memories, because back then we could pick up the phone on a Saturday morning and then have 18 guys down at the baseball field, right? By 9 o'clock in the morning, we're playing pickup baseball. I mean, you know, but that's how it was during the baby boom. There was an interesting thing, because Anthony, you reminded me that, you know, before we moved to where we're at now, we lived in a Como neighborhood, but they, the boys in the neighborhood, they would gather and they would play stickball.
Yeah.
So even though we were a block from Como Park and there was a small softball field there located across from where the Wolves are at, there is a small softball field. So like when you enter from the parkway and you're headed toward the zoo, there's a line of trees. And then right behind that line of trees was a small softball field.
Staff that have worked there, all those things kind of shaped you.
That was literally a block and a half from our house. But for whatever reason, these boys wouldn't play. I would tell them, why don't you guys go play in that field over there, the softball field? They would play stickball in the parking lot behind Holy Childhood Church.
In the lead chair to help lead our
park. And there was something about the geographics or the topography of that parking lot that just worked so well for them. And for two summers, I was trying to encourage them to go use the softball field at the park there, but they insisted on playing in the parking lot at the church. I just thought that was a little, yeah. It's just one of those tidbits, but.
To that point, Don, and Andy, I know you can speak to this too. You had talked about trying to be creative about looking at where people, you know, how the community moves, which I think is a big shift to how I remember. Cause you know, for me, I always felt like I was at the behest of Parks and Recs, and just, I had to wait on whatever offerings are decided upon. It's a very different feeling now than when I was growing up. Looking at that, it does seem like there's a lot more responsiveness in that regard, and looking at creative ways to kind of see what folks are doing. Can you speak to that, especially as it pertains to people of color? Because it always has felt like we were intruding upon white folks' parks, and the feeling is very different now.
Yeah, no, you're right. I mean, like when we were growing up, like there is. Gosh, there's probably about 40 plus rec centers, and then obviously passive parks and other things, but like they had a very neighborhood vibe, right? Whereas now you have some of these larger centers and larger parks that serve a different purpose. So that's one part of it. But I think that intentionality, again, about being outward facing and not just waiting for people to show up, but like our staff going out to different places. Like we have a mobile rec program now that goes all over the city. Like they have dedicated team that, you know, I'm sure you've seen the rock climbing wall and other things and at events, but like the whole point of their existence is to engage people in in positive ways, in hopes that they connect with them and then visit the rec center again in the future or participate in other programs. So that's one way of outreach, but I really think we've just changed the game and kind of how we communicate with community about what's available within our park system and how it's accessible.
I love that we all had such great experiences with rec centers. So, this was a great conversation, Andy. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Absolutely. It's a pleasure to talk to you all. It's good to connect. Happy to come back anytime in the future. If you want to rap about anything else, let us know. But thanks for giving the shout out to Parks and giving us the time.
Great. Thank you. I'm Hui Lee, owner of the Other Media Group, VP of Programming for Ampers, and producer.